Let's hear from supporters of the sex ed curriculum change and critics. Joining us now from People for Education, Annie Kidder. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning.
And Peter John Mitchell, who's a researcher with the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Steve.
So, Annie, first of all, why does your group support these changes?
Well, they're a long time coming. The curriculum in Ontario is very out of date, given the how fast the world changes these days. This new curriculum not only recognizes the changes that have come about because of our incredible interconnectivity online through the internet, kids' access to pornography, to each other, the change in their relationships through how much they have whole relationships through text. So it deals with that. It also recognizes all of the research that shows kids are going into puberty earlier, and research that shows that giving kids good, clear information about themselves, about their own feelings, about their own bodies, about relationships, equips them for stronger, healthier relationships as they get older. Not only that, it recognizes that those kind of social emotional skills are the foundations for lots of other skills as kids get older and grow up and go off into the world.
And from the view of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, Peter, what do you see that's wrong with these changes?
Well, I'd agree with Annie that the curriculum certainly needed an update. What we received yesterday was very much similar to the curriculum that was rescinded in 2010. If parents were concerned then about content being presented either too early or in ways that weren't age-appropriate, those concerns still remain for parents. So there's working through, I think, some of those issues, and there's always some uncertainty about what that looks like. We know that parents are the primary sex educator, and they have the primary role. The evidence shows that they both through opinion research or through peer-reviewed research, that parents really do have the tools that it takes to reach kids, and certainly sex education is part of that. Parents say that they want to have sex ed in the school, but as we found with previous surveys, for instance, in New Brunswick in 2002, that there really is no shared vision of the nature, content, and timing of sex education, and so it's always going to be difficult. It's always going to be, I think, a contentious issue, but all in this, what I wouldn't want to get lost is the fact that parents are the primary sex educators.
And that they get a sense from their child that this is the appropriate time based on whatever questions the child is raising?
Yeah, the American Association of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry advises parents to respond to the curiosity level of their own children. And so, you know, that can be challenging to gauge those moments. And I think they are moments when kids are showing levels of curiosity that we give them good information and that it's in a timely manner. One of the challenges with a universal curriculum, of course, is that somebody has to decide when is that content going to be presented. And you know, looking at, as parents look at their own family, even children within the same family have different sensitivities. And so there certainly is a challenge in terms of how information is presented, and it might be done one way with one child in a family and maybe slightly different with another child. Parents are in the best position to determine that.
Yeah, respond to it, Annie, please.
Well, I think what's important about this, I know we all call it the sex ed curriculum, but that really it's about healthy development, and that we're not talking about teaching kids in grade one about sex. And I think that that's been the sort of misconception about this. And I do agree. I mean, I think the curriculum recognizes, and I think it's incredibly important that parents are a huge part of this conversation, and that parents respond, and way earlier than before kids get to school, about, you know, what are these body parts? Why is my body different than my sister's body? That, you know, all of that, you know, and not too much information, but age-appropriate, exactly as was said, information be given, and that those conversations be happening at home. I think that what this curriculum recognizes is that it's not about sex necessarily. It's really about it really starts with understanding yourself. So understanding yourself, your own body, but also yourself in relation to other people. So there's really a lot in this curriculum about understanding your feelings, listening to your feelings, being empathetic about other people, sort of recognizing space in that way. So even though we call this the sex ed curriculum, we're not teaching the kids about sex at all in grade one. We may be teaching them the real names for their body parts, which hopefully verbally. They already know because somebody told them when they were first learning to talk. And it gradually builds from there. And I think that, you know, and then when Environics polled in 2013 in Ontario, about 93% of parents said, yes, we, you know, we do want the curriculum updated. And 90% said, and schools are the right place to be teaching this. So the support is there. But, and we, as a society, I think we have varying levels of comfort with the conversations about sex as kids get older. But I know I brought up two girls. There are worrying things going on in schools, and in some ways, particularly for girls, where I'm not sure any of us, parents or school, have been teaching them well enough about the not being pressured part of sex, of understanding that all sorts of different activities fall into sex, and especially about the emotional part of that. So, you know, what intimacy really is, and understanding the kind of, and I don't mean to be, you know, anti-sex, but also understanding the stakes in that. And I think that it is vitally important to have those conversations, you know, really openly and without judgment, so that people have to, and what's hard, I think, for us as parents, and I'm a very old parent, is that you have to kind of equip kids a little bit before. So you have to talk to kids about puberty before they're in it.
Well, interesting.
Younger,
so. Interesting you would raise that, because some of the criticism we got yesterday in the feedback, and by the way, 85% of our listeners voted yesterday that they did not support more explicit and earlier sex ed. And most of them were expressing concerns about primary grades in particular, but they said, you know, if they're not curious now after this, they're sure going to be curious. Peter, what's your response to that?
Yeah, again, the age appropriateness of the curriculum is where some of the heat in this. And going back, I think, to the point, yeah, I think parents do need to have a broader understanding of what sex ed means. And in even instructing their own children, you know, part of this curriculum, too, in the older grades is helping students understand who they are, coming to terms with their own identity and self-concept. And maybe one of the questions we need to ask is, what is the role of the school in helping students understand who they are and their self-concept? Is the school to be the primary lead on that, or is it the people that have the relationship with the child? Is it the parents that they need to take the lead and leading that through? And as I said before, I think going back to your question, Steve, when we talk about things like gender identity in grade 3, how is that going to be taught, and how is that going to be done in a way that all kids get it? Some kids might be more prone to being able to understand those concepts than other kids, or whatever the aspect of the curriculum might be. That's just an example, but certainly there are different aspects of the curriculum that kids are different, and they have different sensitivities. And one of the things I think about the curriculum too is it certainly depends on community support as well, and that means inviting other groups in. And so we certainly know that there are other aspects and other educators, not just classroom teachers, that come in and give information to kids. We want to make sure that those presentations are also age appropriate.
Okay.
I agree with
in.
That. I think that, you know, so what's very important is that we have public health in there, that we have people who understand it from a health perspective. And I just want to go back to the explicit word, because I don't think, I mean, I've looked through the curriculum. It's not teaching kids explicit anything about sex in primary grades. That's not what it's doing. I think that's been a misunderstanding about the curriculum. That's definitely not what it's about. It's not, again, about teaching kids about the sex act early on at all. If anything, it is much more about understanding themselves and other people. And that is it's part of parents' jobs, but it's also part of schools' job, because it's part of an overall set of skills that kids need in order to be successful.
Okay, thanks to both of you for joining us this morning on CFRA.
Thank you.
Okay. Annie Kidder from People for Education and Peter John Mitchell from the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.